In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the wilderness outside of Eden, we've become lost. So much time has passed, it seems now that the cherubim and flaming sword must have been a dream or myth. Out here in the wilderness, we walk, struggling to know reality from mirage, dust from delusion. It's a strange place anyway. One day the sun warms you, flourishes your field. One day it dries your flesh to ashes, bleaches your bones. We've tried to make the best of it, convince ourselves that this wilderness is home, a place to be comfortable, have families, try to make them comfortable. Some succeed at this more than others. Some seem unaware that we're in a wilderness at all, unaware of the strange decay that moves everywhere around us and even in us. Though we pave it, landscape it, erect cities in it, it remains a harsh place. We try to convince ourselves we've civilized it. But inevitably, we come upon the carcass, see the flesh turning to clay, and know our end. But no sooner than we walk away, somehow we've forgotten. We know that we will die, but we go on living as if we won't, planning, spending, dreaming, as if this wilderness just might be home, as if it all might just go on forever. It's strange because we know better, but somehow always forget. A prophet once came into the wilderness, but he seemed to be stark raving mad. Dressed in camel hair and a leather belt, dining on grasshoppers and wild honey, there was no compromise in him. "Repent," he said, "for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We thought we knew what that meant, but looking back, we had no clue. "Prepare the way of the Lord," he preached. "Make his paths straight." He spoke of the coming of the Lord, the coming of the King. It caused quite a stir. We all gathered around him in the wilderness next to the river. He used the bank as his pulpit. And pointing to the water, he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He really meant it, too. If you just got in those waters, God would wash your sins away. As if sin was just dirt. As if plain old water could do all that. That's when we knew John was pretty much insane. But there was something in his preaching that held us there. Like the wild honey he ate, his words were wild and sweet when he spoke of the one who was coming and what he was coming to do. And like the locusts he ate, his words were like a devouring plague that consumed all thoughts you had that you might actually be good or righteous. One day, a group of folks who prided themselves on being good and moral, and compared to everyone else, they really were, one day they came to John for baptism. Instead of welcoming them, John called them a brood of vipers, offspring of a snake. "Who warned you to flee the wrath that is to come?" he asked. "Bear fruits worthy of repentance," he preached. Why would John say that to the most good and moral people among us? More proof that he was insane, I suppose. Those folks were full of good works, but John thought their works weren't good enough at all. "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance," he said to them. "Don't presume to call Abraham your father. God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." See how loony John was? "Even now the axe is laid to the roots of the trees," he said. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Well, if those good folks aren't going to make it, what chance do I have? I'm not sure, but that just might have been John's point. "I baptize you with water for repentance," John preached. "But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." Strange thing about this one whom John preached. John may not have been worthy to carry his sandals, but it said that he once knelt down, desandaled his disciples, and hand-washed the filth from their feet. That's the behavior of a Lord? That's what the true King does? If there's something a bit unsettling about John, there's something a whole lot more unsettling about this Lord and his reign. This Jesus has it all backwards and wrong. In this wilderness of ours, it's simply not how reigning is done. Many think they understand Jesus, but think on this. His own family thought he was insane. John thought God could make water wash away sins. He also thought God could raise up children of Abraham from stones. Jesus was more bizarre. He took bread and said it was his body, took wine and said it was his blood. Drink of it, he said, for the forgiveness of your sins. The whole bizarre ministry of John leads to John getting his head cut off by one of the real rulers, Herod. The whole bizarre ministry of Jesus ends with him being put to death as a criminal by another of the real rulers, Pilate. In all Jesus' life, the only thing that even remotely resembles a reign was actually the opposite of it. He is scourged within an inch of his life. The soldiers put a scarlet robe on him. They twist a crown of thorns and beat it into his head. They mock him as king and take turns striking him. Then they present him to the jeering crowd. They hang him from a dead tree and put a sign over his head that reads, King of the Jews. What kind of insane idea of reigning is this? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Is that what John had in mind? Turns out the voice of one crying in the wilderness belongs to a bizarre prophet who announces the coming of the world's most bizarre king. In this wilderness, outside of Eden, we're so lost we've just decided that this must be home. So much time has passed, it seems now, that the coming of Jesus and his cross must have been a dream or myth. Out here in the wilderness we walk, struggling to know reality from mirage, dust from delusion. It's a strange place anyway. The whole world is getting ready for Christmas. Does anyone really know how bizarre Christ is? Hands full of tinsel, ornaments, and lights, we busy ourselves with merry and cheer. But that insane voice still echoes in the wilderness, unsettling us again. Causing us to wonder, what if that prophet in camel hair with grasshopper legs between his teeth wasn't really insane? Even with his fire and brimstone, what if he was actually the sane one? What if it's the world that's gone stark raving mad in the wilderness outside of Eden? What if that king, heaving his last breath from the cross, bleeding out for a world that hates him. What if he is actually the sanest one of all? What if it's the rest of the world that has gone so stark raving mad with sin, it doesn't believe it needs a Savior, and when he comes, no one recognizes him? What if John was right about him? What if he were to come on the last day to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire? The Spirit for those who believed, and fire for those who did not. What if John's the only one who sees it clearly? His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. What would sanity look like to a world that's gone spiritually insane? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.